That's my name right there.
That's me right there.
Yeah. What part do you play in? People want to know what part you play in.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Al.
Yeah. I play Seth.
Great teeth, this guy, isn't he?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, but that's not what kids want to know.
No.
Here's what they want to know right here.
Oh.
Wait for it. Those tits are real.
No, they're not. No, they're not. No, they're not. Brad Dourif does breast augmentation in his spare time as Doc Cochran.
Well.
The earliest false tits were in Deadwood in 1877. Davis Guggenheim. Greg Feinberg. There he is, our hero. The horse doesn't get a credit, does he?
No.
No.
Nor should they. Most of the horses are kind of a pain in the
ass. Al's had a bad night. Look. He's there again. Too many donuts, I think, in that shot for Alan.
Oh, look at that. You're right.
My friend, Dan, my buddy. You see how I drink tea early morning? Al's got it all worked out. Whiskey during the day, coffee to wake him up, little tea at false dawn. Surveying the scene. They were very late, these actors, riding in.
I haven't seen this episode. Oh, there. I knew something was going to happen soon.
There's the holy fool. I miss Ray, don't you?
This is Ray McKinnon, and he's a genius. You know, he won an Academy Award.
It's a lovely film, The Accountant.
Yes. And then he, Brad Dourif, was nominated for an Academy Award.
Well, they were talking about a spin-off for him this year, weren't they? You know, CSI, Deadwood. Cocksucker Investigations, that's what we're
talking about. Cocksucker Investigations.
Our soul is
he was great,
down
Ray.
To the dust.
Ray asked because he had another film to do that it couldn't last more than one season. I think he regrets it now. I certainly miss him.
Yeah, me too.
They're bound to bring in another reverend, though. Every town had a preacher of some kind.
Yes. David had mentioned he was going to bring in a reverend. We were going to explore gay marriages.
Yeah. That was the first town. Deadwood was the first town to have gay... Here they come. What's occurring?
Tell Johnny brew some coffee, open some peaches.
Loves his fruit. Ah, Marshall. You think you're in episode 13. Hold. Not so quick, Marshal Bell. As Peter Coyote, General Crook.
Is that magistrate? Some with soldier saddles?
Now knew they was
Sean Bridges.
Sean Bridges. And W.L. Brown plays Dan Doherty.
I'd about decided he just couldn't sleep without Trixie.
Sean's got great comic timing.
Yeah. Sean Bridges, I quote now more than any other actor on the show after Jack McCall and Garrett Dillahunt.
For the massacre at the Little Bighorn.
Am I right in believing like one of my favorite things now is to say, sit. Sit. He won't sit.
Said you'd see his back once the treaty got amended. The
day
the
general spoke. Favorites.
Fast approaches.
And both Garrett Dillahunt, who played Jack McCall, you got to go back a couple episodes, and Sean Bridges, they tell great jokes.
He and his men would require some resupply and respite. Stopped at the right fucking place.
Respite, Mr. Swearingen.
God. Short of the men, you can tell he's battle-weary.
Unsaddled, allowed to gamble, roll in the dust. Hmm?
But not so they balk at reharness.
I'll make your feelings known to the other operators.
I and my fellow officers would be grateful now for the use of the bathhouse.
Al is pissed at this guy, who's the Yankton man, who he's paid bribes to, but figures out this guy's been taking the bribes and then keeping them himself and wants more money.
Custer, if it ain't too dissolute, the camp will want a parade.
Everybody loves a parade.
A parade is all right.
Swearingen, a part of the speech with Doherty is that he'd been there the year before and got thrown out by the army before Custer fought Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse. And then they let them all back in again, and a lot of army people deserted to join this gold strike, which was an incredible gold strike, don't forget. I mean, and people, greed will overcome a lot of things. So this wasn't like a mini strike. This was huge. So people flocked from everywhere to go to Deadwood. And for every legitimate person that was there, be they a miner, be they a sheriff, you know, be they a Seth Bullock, be they a Swearingen, there were eight hustlers or con people who were there along to take the money that was being earned legitimately by other people. So it's like human nature. It doesn't change much, but the conditions must have been pretty rough. But greed will overcome that. Greed and dope and sex and alcohol, you know. That's what it was about. And it must have been incredibly fucking boring in those days, too. My disappearance. I mean, there was no television.
I was just thinking about that.
Radio.
Boring. Or the telegraph. But keep going.
No. I almost snored myself. Simply by being its instruments.
It can't be done. Get the fuck out of my joint.
That wasn't very nice. Yeah. Bueller.
I love this. Jeffrey Jones.
Bueller.
Wonderful coming out. And here he is, all our favorite, Eustace B. Farnum. Seconds away. Now, General. Our mayor.
I will say this.
That guy in the background behind Peter Coyote is a writer, friend of David's.
Yeah.
Who they brought in. He's a terrific guy. Very good. The neck of the fucking military.
I guess he bought his bagman back.
Who I commissioned to kill him. He proclaims their paths never crossed. I
guess he would. Now he's in two minds whether Adams, who Swearingen has converted to his side, is playing a double game of backing Claggett, which is the magistrate.
In the goddamn thoroughfare. Ian, could you take this opportunity to do an impression?
What? EB? Well, as always. I know I'm going to puke now. I feel that you have been insulting my behavior, my attitude, all the time during the show.
My favorite thing about
Billy?
Bill Sanderson is that he can say quite almost scathing, scorching commentary at times to directors, and they're baffled by it because it comes out and is Bill Sanderson. They'll give him direction, and then he'll say something along the lines of like, well, yeah, I guess I could do that if I was a bad actor. You've heard him say that stuff.
All the time.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Fucking magistrate, don't go back to
Yankton alive. Oh, Al's still pissed at Trixie. Won't look at her, won't speak to her, because she's been... Trixie. I won't say what Trixie's been doing, but she's been with your chap. She's been having it off with Sol Star, I believe.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know you don't. Here's Doc.
Hey, Doc. What you getting your toe sack?
Lettuce. Set your broom to one side and sit down.
There she is, the wonderful Jerry. Now, Jerry does have CP in real life. She's a stand-up comic, or as I call her, you know, lean-up in true Swearingen fashion. She does lean-up.
Oh.
Not stand-up.
See? I've never heard that.
No. She's great. Stipulation.
You develop any stiffness or numbness, you report these. You do not conceal these symptoms.
I'm sure Brad is glad to be not kissing an alien anymore. of your fucking boot.
That's my fucking boot. You know, he was also not only has he been nominated for Academy Golden Globe,
two nominees,
and Emmy nominated actor in this show, but he's also the voice of Chucky.
That's right. What, stiffness or numbness? The voice of Chucky.
It's a little tidbit. Little tidbit.
He's a terrific actor.
Or discomfort. Don't you be the doctor. You report the symptoms. I will determine their significance.
don't yell, Doc.
I am yelling because I want to make sure you goddamn understand me.
I do. I understand.
Jerry Jewell. I don't think these two characters are based on historical figures, but every, you know, I mean, David's broad-ranging imagination, you have to, you know, there's certain characters you have to have. The character of Jerry is deliberate because of it reminds Swearengen he's broader from the orphanage where he was brought up to have a slightly better life here than they would in this appalling orphanage back in Chicago.
I thought the Doc was based on a real
Is he? Is he? I don't know.
I don't, people should now tune to episode 5 and listen to the commentary of Brad Dourif, because I bet he answered that question. He's over at my place. You know what I bet it is, Ian? I bet it's a composite.
Yeah.
That's just my guess. I'd go with composite.
Yeah. You mean a mixture of a lot of characters? I would have seen
to him, but... If that's what that
a
means,
few doctors.
Then yes.
Well, he doesn't want to be seen to like that.
What the fuck are we talking about?
A man being cared for and made comfortable till he expires.
Al was an orphan. I think that was explained in episode 11, where Al comes from, in the infamous blowjob scene, where you get... I mean, I must say, I love the way that David does get over commentary. Exposition, David gets over by some extraordinary physical things. So you're either getting a blowjob or getting your ass examined. Most of the time. While he gives plot details, which would normally be boring. You know,
I thought you were talking about when he gives direction.
Oh, does he do that to you?
Well, not. He gives the direction, and then he has somebody
bend
else
over, and I'll tell you all about
a blow
it.
Give me a blowjob, yeah. Or an ass. What was it that you said? Seth Bullock is a historical figure, and you could, if you were so inclined, read all about him and do a lot of research. I, on the other hand, though, I play him as if he were a composite.
I've noticed you keep your cheeks very firmly tucked together, as Seth Bullock.
I do that.
Years on the trail, love.
I do that.
How about that other one?
Trixie's fine.
I always said that, I think I've used the line before, and I'll say it again, is that, you know, you put one fuck in the wrong place, you're fucked.
Johnny.
Learning the speeches, that is. You do, truly, if you find if you should start swearing just any old how, it doesn't work. They're all specifically put in there. I mean, we never vary from the script. The language is very specific in the vernacular and the Shakespearean qualities of it, because it is 19th century America. David said early on, the language is also a way of saying who you are. It's also a way of social stratas that exist in this community.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Like saying who I am. I don't give a fuck who you are. And you listen to me. It's a way of explaining. So, as I said, you know, you put one fuck in the wrong place, you're fucked. When you're learning it, you have to learn it as it is. People say, oh, can you swear whenever you want? No, you can't swear whenever you want.
Mining gold, Alma. It's different business from panning it in a stream. The machinery involved, wages. It demands capital. If, as seems clear, you've determined to stay, I could see after your requirements in New York, secure your holdings credit as its eastern representative.
Let me tell you what I didn't know about before the show concerning horses. I didn't know how to ride a horse before we started the show, and then I went out riding with all these old cowboys and rodeo guys, and they not only helped me with my horse riding, but with my foul language. What I didn't know is how big a pain in the ass it can be to work with a horse. Because, you know, they don't hit their mark, and they get tired, and if you're facing towards the barn, I mean, they're constantly inching forward, and you constantly got, you know what I mean? When I started the show, I had a horse called Norman.
They had.
Norman was a pro, although I will say this. Whenever he'd hear the word action, he'd start moving. You know, if the scene called us for us to ride in and come to a stop. But the problem was sometimes the AD'd call out background action, and Norman'd start moving. And I was like, Norman, I don't know whose horse you were before. But right now, you're with number one, buddy, and we go on action. We don't go on background. But otherwise, Norman was cool.
Spirit to understand. It's always painful for me. After you got me out of debt, I got myself back in.
Having volunteered a promise you wouldn't, wept and volunteered.
Conceive my own disappointment.
Oh, Daddy.
47,000, Button.
47,000?
Has scale, doesn't it? Certainly there's something to that.
Who would give you that much credit?
My daughter becoming a Garrett raised me in the lender's estimations.
I could borrow that much against the claim?
In an instant.
The way my character relates to this scene is that she's just beautiful and fantastic, and I'm married, and so...
Yes, remember that.
But in consideration, you will...
But you did marry your brother's wife, showing what an honorable guy you are.
Yeah, it's a technicality.
Absolutely.
It's a technicality. I'll have that in writing before I help you.
There's Dad, big bad Dad.
No, darling.
Here we go.
Don't you touch that child. She's mine.
No such thing. Pull it. Ooh. He's no Ricky Jay, but that was pretty good. Pull the quarter out of her ear.
Get away from her.
This scene often intimated to me that something may have occurred between Miss Garrett and her father earlier in their lives,
yes.
Don't you? Yeah. There he is.
That's the lovely Kim Dickens.
And that's the even lovelier
yes.
Dayton Kelly. And the even lovelier.
Yeah, I just wanna,
there he is. Dayton just put his saxophone down before he started this scene.
It's often sort of a Catman Struthers vibe with him, but then sometimes it gets a little Bill Cosby. And you think he's
is I pudding, chocolate pudding.
I'll give her the money. Dayton's character, Charlie Utter, I think is the conscience of the show in some ways because he's a real good guy.
Which is ironic because Dayton
in real life is
such a good guy.
What is it, Mrs. Garrett?
Seth, I've got to go do that.
What is that?
Al Swearengen is the primitive man who's forced to become halfway modern by being, I think, the visionary that knows that life is changing and that this country, whatever it is called at this particular time, is going to change into what he dreads, which is civilization coming, the telegraph coming, the town. Bullock, who he sees, I think Al sees as somebody like him, a different personality, but very much like him. But
Bueller.
Frozen by conscience
Bueller.
And duty.
I'll be surprised if he doesn't give it.
Bueller, Ferris Bueller.
Bueller.
Oh, and there's the old Jew. The Austrian Jew. I've yet to hear him speak in Austrian's Jew.
Jesus, what's wrong? Bullock looks angry.
Should I stay with her at the store?
Please.
They were going to have him dubbed by Arnold Schwarzenegger at one time, Solstar, but I...
Hello, hello, Bullock.
The Meridian Constitution, Mr. Russell.
Or will we? Now, his character was, I think, E.B. Farnham was mayor quite a few times, wasn't he? He shared it with, Solstar became mayor, and they shared it between them. Ooh, what a slimy bastard he is.
Yeah. Isn't he great?
Can you imagine, he cooked breakfast.
That's Ralph.
There's our hero.
That's Ralph. He was an extra, and he turned into quite a character.
First grade thinking. My daughter's Asian beats her father in the street. How better to condemn all...
Don't look
now. I was always amazed when I saw this show of the town. It looks incredible, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The see, set with
here, here's a little tidbit. This is my second tidbit offering after about 30 minutes of viewing. Those mountains aren't really there.
They finish it because Deadwood itself is in a gully, which means there's one way in and one way out, in a sense. So what they do is they put a big green screen up at the end of the street, and then they fill in the mountains afterwards.
Exactly. That's the magic of...
I know my technical stuff, don't I?
Exactly.
CGI, is it called?
It's CGI. Yeah, that's exactly it.
New shooter coming out.
The bully who oppressed your youth isn't at the table with us. He's long.
Here's the great Ricky Jay we're seeing
in the background.
Here's another tidbit. I want to come back to that.
That's the cinematographer's daughter.
That lovely lady there is the cinematographer's daughter. and she's one of three daughters that have appeared on the show. Their fathers work on the show in some capacity.
Oh, Scott is the Deadwood quiz.
Particular view of things. Then again, they do. And while I'll sign no guarantee not to return or against any future claim on her compassion, realize I do hate it here. And if you inhale and expel pure righteousness, my olfactories are keen to the smell of shit.
Six. The point is six.
Having heard all that, and knowing, as you must, the injudiciousness of making an enemy of a man who could testify truthfully that 5 minutes before her marriage, he heard his daughter wish her prospective husband dead, and who won't shrink from lying as to what she admitted to him on his arrival in this cesspool as to her complicity in her husband's murder. I suppose you'd best take your swing.
Gentlemen, watch the felt.
We did this there.
Tim hurt his hand during this.
I hurt my hand during this, and I heard it hitting the stuntman's face. And I just want to say how great our stuntman, our stunt coordinator Mike Watson, and the stunt guys here today were Craig and Richard. And I think I hit Richard. And it's very disconcerting when you hit a guy who you know could turn and kick your ass in a second, and yet they just continue to kiss your ass and treat you nicely.
No, they know where they know where they stand. And
yes, but
all
I find the whole thing very troubling because I
no,
know.
No, you don't. No,
yes,
you
I do.
Don't invent this with me.
No,
you
because I
you,
know that.
You know that you hit him because you couldn't stand the bastard.
Well, that I do you know, did. Too. But I know that then the next thing is troubling is I know that secretly the guy not only wants to kick my ass, but he can.
There goes those mountains again.
It's great.
Oh, that extra close-up of the whore. Where did that come? Oh, cinematographer's daughter.
Cinematographer's
yes.
daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Very
nepotism,
well lit,
rears its ugly head again.
Yes.
Oh, pretty. Ah.
I didn't get a chance to finish my thought on Ricky Jay. For those people who don't know it, the Deadwood fans, they're just purely Deadwood fans. Yeah, check the website, whatever reading you want to do. He's one of the great magicians in the world.
He can kill a man at 50 paces with an ace of spades.
That's right.
A card,
he can throw a playing card like 90 miles an hour and lodge it into a young boy's neck from like 50 feet. He's dangerous with a deck of cards.
Peter Jason.
Now,
Peter Jason, he keeps you lively on the set. Keone Roberts, wonderful as Wu.
This is the
and there's Leon.
What's coming up here?
Cedar.
This is the only time I really had a chance. Really, this little sequence in this series.
There's Leon Tom Noddle, who's also a good guy in the show. Noddle. Excuse me. Do carry on.
You fucking rude bastard. Here's another. There's my third little insight for the kids today. Ian McShane is a rude, interrupting bastard.
Well, it takes so much time for you to get this out. Would you spit it out, though?
It took me 20 minutes to get on the fucking screen. Now I got little anecdotes to tell.
It's like the walk. This walk goes on forever.
That's a bullet. Yeah, I know. He walks, he's pissed.
There's Johnny. Here's the Reverend.
Now, Ian's warming up. Ooh.
The Sioux and the Cheyenne, having burned the prairie to deny us fodder for our mounts. Our provisions limited to...
Oh, can I say something
This
here?
Is extraordinary. No, just before that...
You notice what he said?
Just before, this extraordinary...
Fucking
this,
incredible.
This is like the, this is this like is the most bullshit. Extraordinary. The way he, this character here, that Milch intersperses his revulsion at the war with the sort of complimenting and going against the grain of this speech of how we've revenged Custer and whatever. He has like the Vietnam. It's rather like the Kerry Bush situation.
Huh, now. That's interesting, Ian. You want to hear my tidbit?
Not particularly, but if you feel you have to say it. I'm
so we show up this day and we rehearse this whole thing with our beloved director, Davis Guggenheim, who did such a fantastic job. We rehearse this whole little sequence of Mr. Coyote standing up on an apple box. And then they set the cameras and they take hours and they do it all. And David Milch walks on the set after the first take and they say, what do you think? He says, it was great, but they're all standing the wrong way. And then they had to turn everybody around. Isn't that cute? That's a nice little story.
Well, we've learned now never to rehearse a scene without Mr. Milch.
Without Dave. They had all these soldiers turning the other way.
It's all in his head, you know. Yeah. Who knows what he's...
Who knew?
They were turned round to the crowd instead of being, you know, instead, so it was less declamatory this way. In other words, it's the opposite of how you present a show if it was directed by whoever. What I'm saying is that Conley, that David goes against like the scenes that you expect. Here's the big moment. No, it ain't the big moment.
People don't.
Here's the moment coming underneath.
I tried to give some insight, but really it's not that interesting. Here's something better. There's no sewer system.
No, there's no sewer. People just literally in those days, you know, just peed and shat where they did and threw everything out and just there it lay. It must have been awful in those days. Absolutely fucking horrible.
Yeah.
You obviously can't, but apparently it was. It's sometimes, because there was an article written by the people of the actual town, Deadwood. One of their gripes was that the mud wasn't deep enough on the street, that it wasn't shitty enough compared with how it was then. It wasn't, you know, dirty and horrible enough.
Leave it there, you bought out son of a bitch.
We have two nominees, don't forget, the two nominees.
Not only do I know about them, but I'm sure the people that have listened to their DVD commentary realize how much smarter they are than we are, too. I bet they said cool stuff. I bet you Robin said really cool stuff about her character and about her preparation.
Tim and I operate under the old James Cagney acting maxim, which is, you know, you step forward, you hit your marks, you look the other actor in the eye, and you say your lines.
That's right.
There goes old Smoothie Bastard.
Yeah, Smoothie Bastard.
We'll soon be apart.
I remember this day Powers told me to keep an eye on him, and I might learn something. And I told him, I'm glad he had said that, because I was getting discouraged, because I'd been keeping an eye on him throughout the season.
Well, obviously never said it to that.
Still hadn't seen anything, but I was going to keep looking.
Farnham's friend. All you have to do is put the camera around on Farnham's assistant and nobody's looking at anything else. Look at him. Look at that. Send my trunk,
Captain Bob. Yes, sir.
This is a tremendous number of provisions, Captain. But, of course, you're buying for full-grown men.
Mr. Wu, cocksucker!
Coming in through the front door since 1876. Oh, hey, ready? See that dude there? Take turns like white men. See that dude there? There's like 15
That's
guys
you,
on the screen.
That dude there.
Rewind it. Just rewind it back to the guy walking in saying, "We're gonna fuck him like white men." That is Mike McGrath, and he is a PA on the show. And for 6 months, all he did was get me coffee and run the pool on his football.
College football.
Football too.
Both.
Every Friday, he took like $20 from me. And then the last episode, he sneaks in there. And this season, he's not with us. He's enrolled in acting class.
You just wanted to talk over your soliloquy, didn't you? Because otherwise, I'd comment on it.
No one could understand it anyway. I'm just going to talk over it because
right on. Look, the badge.
I said this monologue, and I've listened to it back at least twice, and I still don't have any fucking clue what I'm saying.
Neither does Earl, but he reacts well, doesn't he?
I know. That's the thing.
If he don't die. If he don't die.
I got that part, if he don't die, but the rest of it was just bullshit.
Just so I understand. If he don't die.
See, now he has to translate it back to the audience because David knows nobody can understand what the fuck I'm saying.
Now that's the message you want me to take upstairs.
I don't swim in that shit.
This is all referencing this is to Alma's father.
You're hypocrite enough to wear it.
Just to, that could have been said like that in one line.
Appreciate it.
As Alma's father.
That's it.
When did you start thinking every wrong had a remedy, Wu? Did you come to camp for justice? Or to make your fucking...
It's interesting because they were frightened at this time. America had this great fear of the yellow peril, which is where it came from. That the Chinese were going to, you know, take over the United States, which they probably will be in about another 5 years, 4 hours and 20 minutes. But that's for the future.
I'll set my
There's
watch.
The Reverend.
Ray McKinnon.
Holy fool.
Search out the short film, The Accountant. Yes. Academy Award winner.
There it is again. So rich.
Oh, look at John.
Yeah, he's keeping an eye on, you know, stealing.
You know what he's thinking? Where's my mark?
He's worried about you. He's worried about you because I think he's secretly gay. So, well, maybe not so secretly.
I'm sensing you've done things today you wish you could amend, Seth.
I don't know what the guy's complaining about. Look at him. He's right there. He's in focus. He's...
I don't know.
He's your conscience. He knows what you're thinking. This is the great thing.
He ain't fucking over.
He prods you. God, you're an obstinate bastard, Bullock, isn't he? He's so obstinate.
Yeah.
Under what provocation was that clown-hatted card sharp when he slaughtered the chick?
I was head down, Al, towing that minister like a canal mule.
Well, in the aftermath, when you raised your...
I notice, Ian, you get a little quiet when you're on screen.
Well, I like to, but when I was on screen,
you just kept talking over me the whole time. I was trying to do little anecdotes about that day and this day and what he said and what they said, and you just were jumping in left and right. And now look at you. There you are on screen. What do you got to say for yourself?
I'm letting you talk. I don't need to say anything.
Exact type murder you preach, yeah. Off trouble down
there's
the road.
Coffee clutch. Coffee clutch for the evening. On the road, Dan, this scene was actually directed by our producer because it came as the last. This was the last scene of the entire show of last season.
Give the
four in the morning.
Give the kids a little insight and tell them where Bill Sanderson has written his lines down.
All in the same fucking place.
Are they in his
hat? I think they're on the palm of my hand.
Are they in his hat?
No, he never does that. He hasn't got the... No.
Come on. Is he looking down to
Billy
get
has never...
Right
Billy may blow his lines, but he's never blown a close-up, I'll tell you that.
No, see right there? Is he getting his lines?
No.
What's he doing there?
He's looking at his hat. There's the return of Adams.
Oh, hey,
he's not... Is he a turncoat? Is he not a turncoat? And also, they get very worried about this character, Adams, because they all think he's going to replace them in Al's affections. He's going to...
Tell him the little anecdote about how you told him it looked like his mother fucked a monkey. And that
that was in the last episode. Oh, yeah, David suddenly said if he came out of the bathhouse after murdering one of Jimmy Irons, yeah. He'd take your hat off. And he takes his hat off, and I say, you look like your mother fucked a monkey. So he's known as... I think he says it in this... When they come in.
But you remember why they did that?
Well, David just says that, you know, because I think he wanted to button the scene.
No, because...
Because he has a high forehead?
Because Titus had an allergic reaction to the sideburns they put on him.
Is that why? I never knew that.
Yeah.
See?
Little tidbit. Titus had these big old sideburns when he first came on the show. And the glue that they
There's
used...
the cinematographer's daughter
Oh,
again.
My Jeez, God, he interrupted again. Me again.
He's back again.
Are you sure we can't tempt you? I'm sure. A small fraction of your detachment left behind, a dozen or 18 men, say, to keep the criminal element in check. Cash compensation. Unrecorded.
To defend against threats from without, I suggest the camp create a militia. For civil disorders and property disagreements, have you hired a sheriff?
Yeah, we got one.
Did you say to me earlier, Mr. Tolliver, that you imagined that the chief use of the military presence...
John Rizzo and Adam Brandy?
Yes.
The two of them together, yes. they make a great pair on and off camera. But John is a great, great guy and is very much an integral part of the show. I mean, we've just...
What was that word, integral?
Part of. I believe that's what it refers to.
Integral.
Integral.
Here
he is.
Whatever happened to
There's our hero.
In
Montana.
My father served in the British Royal Army. Just keep talking.
So why do you speak with this American accent? If your father served in the British... Brits never lose their accents. Why
are you here, Mr. I'm from Canada. He's from Canada. And then he moved when he was a kid.
So that's why he's Sol Star, E.
I have no fucking clue, man.
Listen, Swearingen, E.
They got a guy, and he told us how to talk. Robert Easton.
Oh, he's great. Robert Easton.
Hello.
Who should be in the show as
Hello,
a prospector.
Hello, Tim. This is Robert Easton.
He helped me.
That's
with
my
the,
voice teacher.
With the pilot. With the void. Robert Easton, they brought him in with me for the pilot.
He's fantastic. Spent about 20 minutes with him, and I got freaked out, and that was it.
He should be in the show because he looks like a prospector from the wild.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
A man, a former marshal, who understands the danger of his own temperament. He might consider serving his fellows.
Quite often, and the scripts have come through, I think Tim will verify this too, is that you get a scene come clattering through the fax or the email or whatever, and then you look at it and go, no, I don't think I'll learn this because there'll be another version coming through in about an hour and a half. And sure enough,
yeah,
you get a refined version coming through because, you know, Milch has looked at it and gone, tweak this, do that, and that's the way he works.
When we started this show, I used to learn the scenes as soon as I could get my hands on them. But then, of course, we quickly got to that point where you just got the scenes the night before. And so now, because what would then happen is I'd get all tense because I got something the night before, and I'd be like, oh, shit, I got to learn this. So now what I do is no matter what the scene is or when it's been given to me, I don't learn it till the night before.
I've been meaning to talk to you about
that. You see that? See what I did there? I flipped it.
Flipped it, but, you know, there's the difference between stretching the truth and completely being in denial.
I brought these.
But that's the way we work. See, we still have our characters still come through.
So now when they say, Tim, we got a scene coming in tonight, and I'm sorry, last second, but we're going to shoot
it tomorrow.
Doesn't
matter. I'm going to play
Doesn't matter. I've been doing them all that way.
Maybe model replacements after, maybe.
See what I'm saying? I'm on a roll.
Not to run his mouth. This is so sweet. Please come here.
Here's what the people want to hear. Working with David Milch, before this show, really, all I wanted to hear from a director was something like faster, slower, something as easy as, oh, pick up that cup. I could just do it. But mostly what you get is a lot of stuff that doesn't really make sense. That's what most directors talk about. They talk about stuff that you nod your head and you're like, yeah, but really, I have no idea what they're saying. But David Milch, although he does do that stuff, he does it with such beauty and grace and intellect and humor that even though I don't understand it, I feel like we're going to win a Nobel Prize when I'm working with him. Wanted me to see to his needs,
and then to add to the egg money by Milch with women characters, I think, has brought them to the fore, where they're mostly forgotten in westerns. They either represent the mother, the whore. They're getting more complicated. Milch made them integral to the western. Rather than make them just stereotypes, they're not, because Joni's now branching out on her own in another whorehouse, which in the second season. I mean, there's not many jobs for them at the moment, you know. And Alma's got the hots for, you know, my friend on my left here. There she goes, oh, look out. I'm not going to say a word about the next 10 minutes, so carry on, Tim. Because unless it's a porn soundtrack. Which I might do a bit of that. Are you going to stop at my hand?
Why don't we go down to that little restaurant and have some dinner?
God. Would you, Miss Stubbs, would you fuck off now and leave me alone with Sheriff Garrett so I can go down on him, please? Stubbs, thank you. Dinner, okay. He's not sheriff yet, but he soon will be. He'll always be sheriff to me. Shut that fucking door.
That's pretty good. Look, watch this. This is a little joke I play. How long can I stay at the door?
Get your ass in here.
Wait, a little longer. Wait, a little longer.
Get your ass in here.
She's thinking, is it my line or is it his line? Oh, there we go. Go back and time it. That's pretty long. That's a brave move.
I liked it.
If you were to leave once he's well and return to act against your
interests. I like this, Tim. You don't look up once, because if you do, you know you'd be lost in those liquid eyes and those...
It's fantastic.
Soft, luscious lips.
Yeah.
There he goes. He's gone. He's a goner now, look.
I'm in.
He's got no chance.
Yeah. Molly Parker.
And she's saying, take me now.
After he was killed.
That's good. No makeup. I love that look.
Hold on. Here comes the good part.
Married.
Not yet. Wait for it. Wait for it. 13 years of marriage, and this is this kind of stuff you look forward
no
to.
No tongues, please. No tongues. Please. Seth.
Practically chipped a tooth.
Ah, oh, she's going
practically from... chipped her tooth.
And 20 minutes later, they got their clothes off.
I know.
That's the trouble. It's such hard work, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, you know why cowboys die with their boots on? Because they've always got painted toenails. That's the old... Thank you. That's what we've been
Molly
waiting for
Parker.
For 12 episodes.
Sexy motherfucker. This business ain't for everybody.
That's it.
Just the sexy people. In 1876, it just took a fucking long time to get a woman's dress off.
Is that the most significant thing you learned?
Can you Jesus. Think of anything more significant? That's why you get the HBO. That's why you pay your cable bill right there.
Oh, there he is. What's he knows what's going on up there. There he is. It's
tough
about
guy.
Time he came back.
Tough guy.
Titus Welliver.
That's Hawkeye.
That's Hawkeye, yeah.
He's a cowboy.
He's a real cowboy.
Yeah, he's a real cowboy. That's why he's not saying much. Don't tell me but he looks great. Magistrate's head so he can carry it around in your
coat and that warrant against me. Now he's asking, are you on my side or the magistrate's side?
Milt's got all these rodeo, ex-rodeo cowboy guys just to hang out and work with the actors and teach us how to ride. And then they all got little roles in the show.
Now that's the guy with the false sideboards. You see how they've taken them off so he's not allergic anymore?
Thank
he kept
you
scratching
for
himself
back
in episode
to
11. He's coming
little
back
tidbit.
To
those are the kind of things that people want to know.
You're right. Give you time to make up which side you're on,
Adams. So Titus goes whining to David Milch one day. My cheeks hurt from the glue from the sideburns.
Uh-huh.
And then Milch, being a genius, he turns around and says, well, Ian, you tell him to get a haircut and it looks like his mother fucked a monkey. And then the show just keeps going. You can't stop it.
The Reverend is not well.
But that which I do, I allow not for.
All right.
Jesus Christ, somebody shoot him.
Get out.
It's coming, wait.
What I hate.
The lovely Paula Malcolmson. Paula's great.
Now, if I would do what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but...
They've
troubled.
Got a complicated relationship, Trixie and Swearingen.
Johnny. Shut the door.
Uh-oh.
That's it? No monologue? What happened?
I know. It's Doc. Now, here we get the monologue. It's Doc's turn.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great one. This is where we get the revelations of what the Doc has seen in the Civil War. I love this.
Which I think had been on the minds of viewers all year.
Yeah. This discomfort. His rant against the big guy upstairs.
That's right.
But this whole episode is like a curtain call for the entire season, you know?
Please, God, take that minister. What conceivable godly uses his protracted suffering?
Because I'm Chucky's dad. You're just a puppet. Don't forget that. You're just a toy. I can do what I want. I am a capricious, willful god and will descend on you.
Mama, mother, find mom.
Now he's just going nuts. Kind of disturbing.
Brad, a little to the left, we can't see the head. That's what a normal director would have said, but thank God they... No, it's true, isn't it? All the offbeats. We can't see your face. Where's the money? Give me the fucking money. But it's not done that way, the
yes.
show.
No.
Praying that you consider it served.
I beg you, Turlant. Thy will be done. Amen.
Working with HBO is a revelation because it's like the BBC used to be, except with better food. In other words, they leave the creators, people alone to get on with what you do. I'm sure they watch it all the time, but they don't come on the set and start saying, well, don't you think the camera should be over here, or rewriting. It's Milch's creation, and Milch can do what he wants. And also, you're not doing 24 episodes a year. You're doing 12, which is like about right. Uh-oh.
Make a proper seal. Stop up for breath.
You see, he has entered. He has. That's a great example of the fact that you'd have nobody doing anything while this was going on. You just have it on. But he has Dorothy enter. He plays it off other people.
Yeah.
Big moments aren't sort of big. It's not. This is not opera. This is. Well, it is operatic. It's on a grand scale, but it's done in such a humanized way.
How?
I was impressed watching it as a viewer by the simplicity of the post-production. The music, which is only used in maybe a little string now and a little violin, but nothing until the end of the show. And the lack of sound, just that constant buzz coming underneath.
Get the sled for him.
It's a show when people say to you, I really like that show. You can look them in the eye and say, yeah, it's a really good show, isn't it? Without any
or
second...
Or just say, fuck off, I'm busy.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, one
or
the
why
other...
are you fucking talking to me?
Yeah, either
exactly.
One.
Either one.
Either one.
Oh. There's no improvisation on this show. And if it would, you'd look at Milch very nervously.
Yeah.
He's just too good at it.
Yeah.
There's a very strict sort of routine. I mean, I don't know what... It's the same with you, Tim, I imagine it is, that when you do a big scene, that we sit down, David's there, we all have the lines down, we go through them, and then he makes the changes necessary.
Yes.
Or if there's any adjustments to be made, they'll be talked about on the spot, but you don't start... I mean, often they'll say, you know, say something. And I say, well, no, could you? I'll say something, but would you please come up with what it's going to be? General Crook.
Adams bore you my message to try fucking yourself.
And there was an article somewhere the other day that said these are our forefathers, and they're not so different than we are today, except we put, you know, they're more like, Powers is more the modern version of my character. Just a little sleeker than Al. Doesn't make him any better. I don't think it makes people together any better. People are just as greedy, willful, and dangerous now as they were then, under the guise now of money and a certain veneer of sophistication. But there it ends. We're just the same people as we always were. Otherwise, why would you still need whores, dope, and gambling? Thank you.
Would you say that Powers is slicker than cat shit on a linoleum floor?
You know, I would never have said that. But now you've said it, I still would never have said it. But maybe I'll say...
Yeah, catch it on linoleum floor. I like that analogy. That's a good... I may use that one day.
...has come to trust me and rely on my counsel exclusively. The appropriate gesture made by you toward me would lead me to dissuade the general from the garrison option, as well as clear away from above the cloud of uncertainty regarding your... personal liability.
The show is darkly lit, I suppose, but there's always like a pinpoint to bring the eyes out, which is the whole point of film, I would have thought. It's all in the eyes. Somebody must have said that before, mustn't they, Tim?
Something about windows to the soul.
I wish I'd thought of that.
Something.
There's Dan.
I don't know, though. I've done some, Mike. Did like a...
Ooh!
Oh.
It's a good death, this. I like this death. Because it's slow.
Oh,
ooh, yeah.
Nice.
That's... Say goodnight, Marshal.
Be happy to give you this paper. You take that fucking gun off me.
I tried out for Swearengen and Bullock, and I didn't get the part of Swearengen. That don't count. Here's the deal. And interrupt me at any time, Ian. Because I went in and met with David Milch, and Walter Hill was there as well. We met for like 40 minutes, and David talked the whole time. I just stared at him. Oh, hold the phone.
Yeah, I better not talk through this. Oh, my God, his skin. I'd like to have seen more. Get those pants down. Now, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's that. No, no.
That'll sure. be.
This show went suddenly prissy in this scene.
Yes.
No, it's good, actually. It's good. Because I don't think they made love in this scene. I just think they stroked each other's upper bodies.
There's I have the no dog. Idea.
What might have been. This is the epiphany. I love this. This whole thing about he gives everybody, every character, a view of the army leaving. So you're left with a sense of community. This is Deadwood, which is what the show's about. Deadwood, which is why it's called Deadwood.
Where's that? One of your fucking heresies.
He passed.
Let me help you bring him inside.
You're a wily cocksucker, huh? Waited till I got him off the sled, huh?
I was in England when they got a call and they said, would you send something on videotape? I said, a bit fucking old for that now, thank you very much indeed. And then they said it was David Milch and Walter Hill, HBO. And I said, that's different. And then 3 days later, I got a call saying, would you come to the flight to America? So I came across with my wife and then met with David and Walter and HBO. And that was a day later, I was at the track with Milch. It was all on, yeah. Because I think that then, you and Brad were the only people cast, I think.
Yeah, when I got cast, there was nobody cast. I had met with David. David talked for a long time, and I just stared at him. Thought that would help me get the part. And I told him quite sincerely that, you know, I want in, let me know what I got to do. And he said, well, you got to audition. And so I went and read for Chris Albrecht and Carolyn Strauss over at HBO. I tried not to say anything at that audition either, and I almost blew it because I couldn't help myself open my big mouth, and they asked me, Chris Albrecht asked me if I could ride horses, and I told him no, and in fact I was scared to death of animals. And he didn't find it funny at all. But I read the first scene from the pilot, and they told me I got the job. That was it.
Yeah, but you wanted to play. You wanted this gig, didn't you, Ted? Yeah, I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I did. I was sincere. I told David right off the bat, which, you know, I don't think I can think of more than one other occasion where I've been that straight ahead about it. I just said I wanted to do it. Let me know what I got to do it. And it was all said and done within, like, 3 days from the moment I read the pilot to meeting with David to reading for Albrecht and Carolyn Strauss, and that was it.
And here we are.
Oh, good.
Hey, Doc, give me a look.
No.
Come on, I'll teach you how.
No.
There's a blood stain on your floor.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that. Crook's forces in full retreat.
Taking Mrs. Garrett's father with him.
Up and about so quick.
He slung over a mule.
Alive is my point. Doherty gave me to understand you just as soon as seen him dead.
David kind of wrote this scene as we stood there. He said, no, you say that. Yeah. No, you say that. And you say that. And then someone's got a pencil and they're writing it down as fast as they can.
And then you get the scene the day after you've done it, you know.
The fucking sheriff. Yeah, so and then they give you the pages.
You have the pages for the scene you did last night.
Here's the scene you shot yesterday, just in case you wanted to go over it. I do
produce it. This is funny.
Yeah.
I like this bit.
He made that all up right there.
On the Tit, I believe, is coming up.
On the Tit.
I know where it goes.
Now, I actually made
still
that.
Still pissed. It was great.
I actually
pissed.
Made that up.
Yes.
That's the one thing all year I might have made those three or four words up. And
you're
I didn't get any Emmy nod consideration in the writing department, however, which I still kind of
pisses you off
a little bit.
The Widow Garrett looking from the window again.
Do you remember this day? This was like two or three nights where they just brought every single cast member.
Yeah, we just like and, every, yeah, and everybody gets.
And we all just sat guys. Around, and they thought, we have no idea what's going on, but we may show you at any given point.
This is the curtain call.
So all the actors just sat around, telling stories, singing songs, and then getting yelled at periodically by the producer.
Was I singing those show tunes you love so much?
Tim? And you sang show right. tunes.
There he is. Him.
Yeah. But they brought in all the actors on such short notice, they didn't have enough trailers.
There's Mike McGrath going to show his ass.
Yeah.
Now he's taking acting classes. Does he? What is it? American Asshole?
This is the beginning. So for you people out there that see this performance of the guy showing his ass and you say, boy, I'd like to see some more of that, you know, just sit tight because it's coming. He's in classes, and I expect big things.
You reckon that's another reason not to kill her, old man, besides whatever's going on between the two of you?
Now, right now, Ian and I are looking at a piece of tape on a wall. When you see us that way, we're outside shooting the scene. And when you see us the other way, we're in some sound stage. That's the kind of movie magic people like to know.
It is. Yeah. We're outside on the street.
And we're out in the street.
And,
we're inside on the soundstage.
That's it.
Pretending to
good lighting.
Very lovely. Inside.
Looking good, though, isn't it?
See how they make the light look like it's a torch down below?
I like this.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Go on, get him. Get him off.
Doesn't it? Right now, Tim's thinking, boy, season two could be fun.
No, season's thinking, I need that Viagra. I've gone once tonight. I'm sorry, Cialis. I know,
guy.
I'm sorry. Or Levitra, whichever.
Come on.
Oh.
There you go.
I'm as nimble as a forest creature.
You're as nimble.
I love that line. No.
Say it about yourself.
Such he's a fucking genius, Milch, isn't he? He really is. He just brings it.
Would you say that Seth Bullock and Al Swearengen are the two sides of the same coin?
That's a very good way of phrasing it. It's not really,
something
though, is
I read. It? It's something I read somewhere.
I know, but they're not, are they? They're not really. No, I think Swearengen recognizes in Bullock somebody he fears and needs at the same time. He knows the guy is something special. He's not just a run-of-the-mill guy.
That's what you think of.
That's what I think. That's what
then,
he thinks of Bullock.
And then I think that Seth thinks of you. You're just a big asshole.
That's right. I think you're absolutely right.
But I think there's a certain comfort in knowing that that's who you are and that you're going to stick to that.
I think you're absolutely right. But that's because, you know, Swearengen realizes that, you know, that Bullock is the kind of guy. But Bullock is stupid and dumb. But, you know, because you can be a hero and stupid.
Yes.
But the fact is they come together. That's the cleverness about the end is they need each other. They need each other. Swearengen needs Bullock. Bullock doesn't think he needs Swearengen. Swearengen knows he needs Bullock. Listen, it's been fun revisiting episode 12 of the first season of Deadwood. We hope seasons to come will be just as exhilarating and fun to do as the first season was, and I hope you've enjoyed the commentary by my fellow actor and thesp and wonderful human being, Timothy Oliphant, who's still number one on the call. I'd never forget you.
I thought you might have.
Go on then, say goodbye. You say it for me. Say goodnight, Gracie. Goodnight, Gracie.
All by and by.